Okay, we're going to move backward and pick up University of Oregon's Reading Specialist Program 2.3. If you would be so kind, it would be appreciated if you would identify yourselves, please.
I'm Phil McCullum, and I'm on the faculty of the Department of Methodology, Policy, and Leadership.
Jeff Edmondson, faculty in Department of Education Studies and Director of Master's Degree Programs, Education Studies.
And my name is Carrie Thomas-Beck, and I am faculty at the Center on Teaching and Learning within the College of Education, and I direct the Reading Clinic.
Thank you. Jeff, if you would, it appears you're ready to go. Let's see what you have.
We are proposing a Reading Specialist Program, one that we believe is long overdue from the University of Oregon. We've not had one for a great long time. I believe we have taken the time and not proposed one even several years ago, and taken the time to develop what we think is a fairly unique program that's a product collaboration between two departments primarily and faculty from across the College of Education. We draw on the various strengths of the different areas of the college. It's not just coming out of one department, but several, ultimately. From the intervention experts in the methodology department and the reading clinic, to the experts in cultural literacy in the education studies department. So what emphasizes that both of these strengths that we bring together are included in the core courses that are part of the parallel structure. The core, I would emphasize, the three courses in practicum in the core, would emphasize, are designed to meet by themselves all of the OARs for the reading specialist program. And then many of those OARs are then further developed and emphasized in the separate emphases that are offered in the two emphases that we offer within the program. The one, the literacy leadership emphasis, or the multilingual, multicultural emphasis. So again, all the OARs get first, and then many of them are repeated in various ways with the different emphases that we draw on the strengths of the two departments. So with those two specializations, again, draw on the particular strengths of each department. And they also then allow us to meet the needs of some different clientele. So it's not just one pool, but we think we can meet particularly the needs of both those who want to work in buildings, and building district and state levels, and eventually offer leadership in reading, who can offer experience and develop in data analysis and can be working at those higher levels. Or people can go in direction, people who are going to work primarily at building level, most likely, might go to the multilingual, multicultural direction, and they're prepared to work in reading programs, but also work with English language learners and others for whom whose first language may not be English, or others for whom the current culture, the present culture, is not the familiar. We have spent considerable time putting this together. We have worked with a consortium. We had a couple of discussions with our consortium, and I would have to point out that our consortium approved unanimously our proposal as well. So I will leave that to the introduction, and we'd like to ask questions.
Okay. Committee, Shirley, it looks like you're prepared.
I do have some questions. First, the two different areas that you're offering the certification in. One is multilingual, multicultural literacy endorsement, and the other is in leadership. I understand that. Your leadership people, are they taught by certified reading specialists that have been in the field, that do the data analysis and all of that? Are they taught by certified, you know what I'm saying, reading specialists?
They will, goodness, this one's working. They will be supervised by folks who have a reading endorsement out in their practicum sites. And all of the instructors, is that what you're asking
yes.
about, at the university level, all have expertise in the area of reading. I think you have the VITA. Mm-hmm. So they might not necessarily be holding an endorsement, but they certainly have the expertise.
And they have practical experience versus just data experience?
Well, I can use myself as an example, and I am a former special ed teacher, and I've been a literacy specialist for the District of Springfield for several years, So if that helps.
Yes, I didn't find that in here. It's not to say that it's not, but I looked for it and I didn't find it. The other thing is with the multicultural, multilingual literacy endorsement, then comparing it to the ESOL endorsement, and I saw that with just two more classes and a practicum, they will have their ESOL endorsement. So what's the comparison of just a reading endorsement and an ESOL that it only takes two classes and a practicum and they're certified in both areas? Do you understand that, my question?
Yes, I think
okay.
So. For one, the reading endorsement is a larger program than the ESOL endorsement,
right,
to keep in mind first. The ESOL endorsement, there still be more than half of the ESOL endorsement would be necessary. Our ESOL endorsement program currently is a 19-credit program. They would still have 11 credits to complete toward that, two courses and a practicum. So it's more than half that they would still have to complete. I think the point is that there is certainly overlap. That's how we designed it, because that's the expertise that comes from our department is in cultural literacy and the importance of understanding, connecting with cultures to enhance literacy. And so that strength is throughout our department. And so we think that that the skills learned in a reading endorsement and an ESOL endorsement certainly overlap. And you know, you think Venn diagram, if you will, and that overlap is those common courses. And then the additional things, particularly the linguistics course, which is part of the ESOL endorsement, adds those unique skills that are required for an ESOL expertise.
All right. Thank you.
So just sort of a follow-up on that, does that mean that if you're in the leadership, the reading courses that you're sort of taking are absolutely different from the ones that you would be taking if you're in the ELL program?
Not so much. The core courses are the core reading methods courses. If you look at the core courses are the reading interventions course, in which they'll be working at the reading clinic, actually getting hands-on experience at the reading clinic, and Carrie can talk more to that. And the assessment course, which is directly, again, the skills in directly assessing students' ability to read. Those specific reading courses are in the course. So everybody gets those, and then there are the unique variations that happen in the strands.
Okay, so your typical, how many hours is your typical endorsement?
27 credits. 27 hours. Yeah.
And then these would be, if you were getting the ESL endorsement, how much is your ESL endorsement?
19 as a standalone.
Okay, and so if you're doing this, what's your total hours, say, for the I know you have some crossover.
Well, it's 27. So either strand of the reading endorsement program is 27 credits. The ESOL separately is 19. But we were saying if you were doing them both, and if you held the reading endorsement from our program, it would be an additional 11 credits to add the ESOL endorsement if you had the multilingual multicultural reading endorsement.
So what did you think was?
And then the other 8 hours of the ESOL. Well, I think the difference, if I'm hearing it correctly, the difference between the reading and ESOL, again, is the ESOL has the ESOL endorsement, the pieces that are not in the reading endorsement part are the linguistics class, which gives them the unique knowledge of how to teach language, of how to teach, to know and analyze language. Classical cultural context, which just goes further deep into looking at cultures and be able to reach across cultures, and teaching students to reach across cultures. And while it's certainly valuable, there is a limit to how many credits you can have in an endorsement program. And I think the essentials as that applies to language and literacy we have are in the language power and education class in the reading endorsement program. Does that answer what you're?
I mean, we have to give up losing 8 hours, and so I was curious as to what that, and you're telling me it's actually the linguistics.
Linguistics and I say a further depth of knowledge on across cultures. In the language in the cultural context class, that's the other class that's in the ESOL endorsement, but not in the reading endorsement program.
Melissa,
in the.
When you're talking about the coherent question was in the middle. What? So I've completed the endorsement program, and some of the classes I took that went with that will apply towards the CSOL program, which I did the same thing. I had my CSOL. I was taking a program that then applied. I didn't have to take as many. So what were those eight? The language and power, and what else?
So the courses that overlap between the ESOL endorsement and the reading endorsement program are the language pattern education and the ESOL pedagogy class are the two that overlap. Right. That's the 8 credits.
Yeah.
So
not
that's losing. It's an overlap.
So in the proposal, it appears that it did the reading one of the two tracks, either one. If you just added two more courses, you could be at a ESOL if it's not good. And what I'm hearing is it's really those two courses are just the cross the courses. They still have 11 other additional credits in ESOL to add the ESOL endorsement.
Yes, it's 11. It's 11 additional credits to add the ESOL endorsement on top of the reading endorsement.
Okay. So good. When they're separate, say I come and take them as add-ons separately, that's 46 hours.
Right. So it would be 38 instead.
Your literacy leadership emphasis, who would you anticipate would take that endorsement? I mean, what's the target audience for that? I can read the description, but who's going to take that and do these things?
We are imagining that the more experienced licensed teachers who have taught reading in schools for many years, who want to improve their skills, to take leadership roles in their buildings. So somebody who might want to be a reading mentor coach, somebody who might want to be a district literacy specialist, like the position I held in Springfield, someone who might even want to work in a literacy position at the state level.
Thank you.
I see that it's designed for in-service teachers. Can pre-service teachers take this coursework also?
They need to have an initial license.
Okay.
And how are you going to arrange for the practicum for the in-service teachers?
Jeff and I were talking about that as we were waiting. So with the literacy leadership strand, if that's the way a student chooses to go, it's set up to do one credit of practicum each term, fall, winter, spring. So the idea would be that you could potentially do your practicum at your at the building that you teach in, and since it's only one credit a term, it seems like it would be a reasonable expectation. Coursework would be those really late afternoon, evening courses.
For the multilingual strand of the program, it's a single 3-credit practicum, partly because ours is designed to be flexible. We're not going to require that students go through a specific sequence of courses in specific terms. So the term of the practicum has to be flexible, so they can do it any term that works out for them. And that's part of how one of the first ways to make it work out is the flexibility. They can take it in the term that they can make it work for within their schedule. Within that, for some folks, it may take more than one term. They may have to start one term, take it incomplete, and finish it another term. They will have to work. In my experience in working with folks who are teaching, who are doing added endorsements, they've been able to find ways to work it out within their building, to find or make the arrangement within their building commonly between the principal and their fellow teachers to find the way to get those hours in to complete the practicum, both the observation and the teaching hours. And so it's up to the people to make it work, and we'll work with them to make it work.
So how will the people that are in that strand, maybe I could propose that we need another 3-hour practicum in ESL.
They would have a, yes, they would. If they're going to add the ESOL endorsement as well, that's another practicum, right? That's, they don't get
beyond that.
Yes, that's why it's.
Does that then take us to 41 hours?
No, that's why it's 38. It's 11 additional. If they have the reading endorsement at 27, it's 2 courses and a practicum to add the ESOL endorsement. That's the 11 credits. Includes that additional practicum. So it's a whole separate practicum.
This may have been in there, but I didn't find it. Who's going to supervise these people, given the fact that these endorsements don't exist otherwise? I mean, will it be a reading specialist who supervises?
Yes. There are, according to the recent figures we got from TSPC, there are 110 people with reading endorsements, 118 people with reading endorsements currently in the Lane County area, most working within the district. So we have plenty of folks to be cooperating teachers. We don't have that accurate record of people who might be retired or otherwise available for supervisory, but given those numbers, we're quite confident we'll find people who have reading endorsements who will be eligible to be supervisors.
Both of the variations will be supervised or...
By people with reading endorsements.
With a reading endorsement, yes. Not an ESOL endorsement.
Yes. No. Yes.
So when I look at this table one, and it's got the ECD elementary, and you've got 640, which is constructing meaning, and the pedagogy course, and the reading course, and then down at the bottom it says 3 credits of reading, multilingual, multicultural. That's the reading endorsement, not the ESOL.
Correct, right. Yeah, we don't have information on the ESOL endorsement here because that's an already existing program.
I apologize if I already missed this. What kind of setting is the practicum for the multicultural experience? What's different about the practicum than somebody just getting your standard reading endorsement? Speaking something particular.
We will endeavor to have placements with people who have a multicultural emphasis. We don't have those particular spots lined up now. I think we'll work with people, people in the field, CTs who are available, who are perhaps people who are in high ESOL buildings would be preferable, where there's a reading program as well and a reading specialist that we would be working with as a CT. But we haven't identified those a priori.
So there's no set criteria for what? Like having a certain percentage of students who are ELL, or that the school has a bilingual ed program.
I think, given the realities of trying to make placements, the more criteria you set, the more difficult you make it is to make placements. Those would be desirable, and those are things we'll be looking for. We wouldn't want to set those as required criteria for the fear of knocking out all available placements. But yes,
good chance that the practicum could just look like anybody else's reading.
Practicing itself, it's possible. I mean, so we would be, again, trying to do something else, but given the vagaries of actual placements, you have to work with what you got.
Are there other questions?
I have a question.
Vicki?
And maybe this is just a tiny thing, but we don't have an Arello reading test. It's still a Praxis reading test. And sort of leap there out at me there. Didn't want to take the wrong test. We hope to have an Arello test soon. So that was one of your transitions.
Okay. And I thought we had fixed it in all the documents, and I apologize that
it's
still there.
So my question is, why is it because of the experience of their painting and their practicum that you would have them take it after the practicum? It is a bad test, and it would be helpful probably for them to know how they're performing on it. This is just a suggestion. I'm not asking you to alter your dates or anything, but so that they have it coming, because if we get these candidates who completed the coursework and they completed their practicum and their ethics, they're on the cusp of getting their license and they can't get through this darn test. And that's part of what we want to do with this Division 17 changes or move some of this up. And I know it's trickier in ESOL and reading when major portions of the test involve pedagogy and responses that they would probably benefit had they been through the practicum experience, if that makes any sense at all. But anyways, just something to think about, I think. I hate to ask you to plan around a rotten test. I just don't know what to do about it since we don't have another one.
Right. Well, we won't mandate exactly when people take the exam. I would guess many people would take it. I think we'd say at least primarily post-coursework would be the obvious sense. But we're not going to mandate they can only take it after the practicum.
I think
we'll encourage them to take it. Yes.
Sooner. Sometimes they're just kind of they're ready, but yeah. They can't get past that final hurdle.
Right.
And I really don't want to be coaching them on how to pass the Ross test.
passing is the issue.
A little bit between a rock and a hard place on one, but anyway, other than that, the program sounds, I was thinking
I would interject that if you taught them 70s and 80s reading program assessments and that sort of thing, they might accidentally pass it. I'm going to call for the question. Someone needs to move.
I move we accept the resolution as written.
You are first.
Second.
I know.
Second.
Thank you, Milt. It's been moved and seconded to move the University of Oregon reading program as resolved forward to a vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, before they go, this is a separate matter and it has to do with CPDs, but I'm looking at the field experience matrix and it says hours of practicum, 30 hours of practicum. Right below that lists one credit. So a three-hour course would equal 90 course hours, seat hours.
Credits would be the 90 practicum hours.
So if I took a course in...
Bill, when you went to college and you took a science lab, how many credits did you get for seat hours?
When I went to college, science wasn't invented. would that 30, would that 90 hours pretty much go across the board for any course at the university level?
Practicum course.
No, I'm not talking about practicum. I'm talking about the course in natural history of the whatever.
Can I interject something?
Yeah.
Typically, when you're assigning credits at a university, the number of credits you assign per hours of practicum is different than what you would assign per hour of class
time.
Okay.
Right. It's generally,
that was my question.
It's typically,
it's generally 10 hours of contact time per credit hour in it for a course or seated course.
You see, if you use that same formula, a person takes a one 3-hour class, that would be 90 CPDs. That's why I asked the question. And that isn't the way it works.